Well, hello there, you good and wonderful folk of Audioboo, Facebook, and Twitter. Welcome on, it's Roddy Jenkins with you once again. And, I haven't actually done Audioboo now since Friday afternoon, which is a bit remiss of me. And, I apologise, I know that you good folks in Audioboo, Facebook, and Twitter land are probably thinking, oh, we're getting cold, is he going to do another Audioboo? When are we going to have another Audioboo? Please, 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 can we have another Audioboo? Please? Well, yes for you, good folks. Because you asked nicely, here it is. And actually, lots happened since Friday. And, so this is one reason I just felt like sharing. Said that the past few days would be good folks, and it all really started on Friday, and well, Saturday, I suppose. We had the Six Nations rugby on, okay, and if like me, you weren't here rugby, that's a major sort of event in the sporting calendar, shall we say, for said event. And as a result, it's been a mixture of odd weather over in Europe. People just, what you know. And they basically had snow and ice and freezing temperatures. They've been sort of quite cold here in the UK. Yeah, you were sort of used to sort of, the forecast would be for that, like, yeah, sort of 0 degrees, but then I say, I believe in brackets, feels like -2 or something like that, you know. And I don't know, anybody did. And so you had the rugby, and that took place. It was Italy, England, in Rome. They actually played in the normal Stadio Flamengo Stadium, but they're actually in the Olympic Stadium in Rome. And you can see loads of this, it's not a pitch, you know. People I know will say, we can't really complain, that's all, you know, that's not good enough. Worse was to come, actually, but yeah, they played because at least they were able to brush the snow off the road, and England are to sort of shaky first half to have their form and scored and managed to hold out for, I think it was what, 19-15 win in Rome. Which put them to the temporarily put them top of the Six Nations leaderboard. The Six Nations should be England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, France, and Italy. And then what really, really happened was this is the most controversial, especially if you look on Twitter. It was just sort of people treating like that. It was the French Irish game, which was always going to be a tough one for Ireland. They're playing in France, which sometimes works here, sometimes doesn't. It's a newish Irish squad, okay, some of the old favourites, the Brian O'Driscoll, Remy O'Gara's, Paul O'Connell of this world have retired from him. International duty, so I'll get fatigued in one of these days. And so they weren't there, so it was always going to be a tough call for Beckham, Kidney and these men to go to Paris and do well against the French. Bear in mind, the French had done pretty well against the Italians the week before. And so let the Italians have a couple of tries, but then really just run away with it. It was a sort of one sided affair the previous Saturday. Anyway, and Ireland had narrowly lost to Wales in Dublin last Sunday, previous Sunday, which didn't really help. I mean, they could have pulled out, but it's just something they made a zero-way sleep penalty in the end of it, which Wales capitalised on and scored the winning try. So I think it was 23-21 was the final scoring in Dublin to the Welsh. So Ireland need obviously to prove that, yes, they were good, and they could actually win a match and all that bit. And the teams in France were in Paris, and France just literally was all barely got freezing, and really, really cold. And they moaned sort of on Friday night that the pitch was quite folks, that is what I think of what Pope can get this all done and sorted out in time for the match. The kickoff is 8 o'clock. He said, no, very late. It's sort of 9 o'clock French time. And you're sort of thinking, okay. But I suppose they did it that way. Why didn't, well, I suppose one way, because the final weekend they do offer is about sort of 3 matches. Normally, the tournament is split over sort of 2 matches on Saturday, 1 match on Sunday. And on the final weekend, the final Saturday, they do it back to back. So you start at 1:30, and then you go on to like 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock, depending on where you play. So the last match of the tournament, I think, is the England Ireland game, it's going to be a quick one. So that would probably be played, I think, around that point. 5:30, 6 o'clock kickoff, something like that. So it is a tough match if you're sort of rushing around, and it's on March 17th, so it's Patrick's Day, so everything else, like to keep wood, people like that will be thinking, oh, we're going to have, be patron to Ireland, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, come on, so they had a very late kickoff in Paris, say 8 p.m. our time, 9 p.m. British time, and the pitch was still frozen, but they didn't tell anybody until about sort of 2 minutes before kickoff. So it was there, you got a whole stadium full of fans, you got TV companies, you got BBC, you got RTE, Dublin, you got the NHS, one of the French television, and also there all day thinking, okay, what's going on there? And they call you off and the announcements, sort of like say, it's about 2 to 5 minutes before kickoff. And inevitably, on cue, you got the buoys naturally from the crowd. And there's the people that have travelled, not just all over France, over from Ireland. And even they did reschedule that specific they're going to do. Those people thought, well, okay, we spent that money on plane tickets, ferries, what have you. But you've also got the accommodation costs, and you're not going to get that back. The hotel down in Paris, I'm going to say, oh yeah, don't worry, I tell you what, you can stay here, but I tell you what, we'll give you the same room, and we won't charge you extra for the rematch. I'm not going to do that, of course not. So, so fans have really lost out, more than anything else, which is a great shame. And then obviously on Sunday, I think Wales are playing Scotland in Cardiff, and they transport Scotland, unfortunately, to leapfrog England at the table on the weekend, so I think it's now really sort of England, Wales, England, France, then Scotland, Italy, England, all yeah. Anyway, that was the weekend, and then I was on there doing my Paddystone radio show. We've not heard it yet, and why not? Paddystone.org.uk every Sunday afternoon between 2 and 4, yours truly, takes to the airwaves. I have a dance and light music, a Sunday stroll, which normally is recorded here on audio. And, so actually, if you tune in to audioboo.fm /RoddyJenkins, couple of J, you'll get to hear sometimes the Sunday stroll before I actually broadcast it on Basic Radio. There. Too much of a gem. If you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, wait, be a friend of me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. Very right, Then obviously, you can, here it is as well, because there's a link on both sites, Facebook and Twitter, that link into here, my audioboo site as well. So there you are, no excuse not to hear me. Okay, thanks. So anyway, I was doing my show, and the problem is I've had problems with my eyesight. Okay. In that it just gets blurred, blurry vision, and it's very scary, because it comes like, just like that. And then you can't be clicking your fingers, I'll do it again. It was, and you never know when it's going to happen, and your confidence sort of falls a bit, and you're there thinking to yourself, okay, I can see, but you're not. It's more things like finding the cursor on a key on a computer screen. Yeah, and normally the cursor is white, but thankfully, dear friend, I've changed the colour of that, and it really has made a heck of a difference. They know who they are, and I'm not going to name or shame them. embarrassing, weren't they? I'm certainly going to shame them, but I'm certainly not going to embarrass them either. And anyway, I was having trouble. I was just, you know, you're thinking, is it going to go? Am I going to be able to see, be able to read the computer screen? So, oh, that was, I'll just play Adele, Ronnie the Deep, and I'm going to play, and then Clive and Vogue, give me those all the time. Didn't play those two, top us up, but they were played anyway. So that's what I was kind of worried about, thinking, thankfully our friends, colleagues in the studio, the hell out. But it was just conscious about hopefully. I was really panicking, I put the drops in, didn't seem to be able to make any difference. Went to the chemist store and bought some eyewash. That didn't seem to make any difference. Went and just gently bathed the eyes, didn't make any difference. Went to wash the glasses, didn't seem to make any difference. And I was getting a bit sort of panic. I think when you're panicking, it makes it even worse. Because obviously you're conscious that you're on there and there are going to be pauses. And I can think, is that audible? What's happened to it? You know, Eli listens out there. Well, no. The boys like that. It sounds a bit odd. I'm thinking, okay, what's going on there? So I was really conscious of that. Apprehensive, if I'm honest with you. But we managed to get through, managed to pull through, and I got home, and that was that, and thank you very much, and we were okay. And then, on Monday, I had to go over to the sorting office, over at Bedminster here in Bristol, and pick up a parcel package that both people live on Saturday. And I can remember walking out of the front door, and just about to open the front door, this haze of blurry vision. Descended, literally descended like rain. And then later I had to go to the A&E, down the Bristol Eye Hospital even, because it was getting really, really kind of frightening. I thought, this is ridiculous now. You know, okay, yeah, you may get a couple of minutes here and there, but 20 minutes at a time, this isn't good. Something's not right here. So anyway, I can remember walking, in fact I knew the room back in my head, obviously as well, but I could sort of look down the seat of my little glass, and it was literally across between walking in fog and having cling film wrapped across your eyes. It was really, really tricky to see things, and bits, I think it was scary, and yeah, I was thinking, well, I had my white sticky, but in my pocket, but I didn't really want to use it. Kind of reluctant to use that, because I suppose I'm always conscious that that's going to bring, draw attention to the fact that you've got vision impairment. And so I kind of try not to use that. But I managed to get there. Funny enough, actually, I got down to Lidl because a dear friend of mine had sort of. So that they like this particular series. Get there, find the thing. I must have walked around that store four times. I'm sure the staff were looking. Do you think he's lost? Do you think he knows who he is? And but funny enough, folks, the eyesight started to improve when I was in Lidl. Okay, obviously there are other supermarkets out there. What the Lidl effect is, I don't know. But anyway. Yeah, the eyesight did actually improve, and I suddenly thought, I can see again. Yeah, things weren't blurry. Things were, well, weren't exactly crystal clear. I was getting some dentures. This is getting dentures. You know. Anyway, digress. But it's just, it suddenly, it looked clear to me. I thought, wow. Okay. So I have to do that, and well, from collecting the package from the sorting office and came home and okay. But I just thought, no, I've got to go to the eye hospital, this is just not good. And I will tell you what happened next in part 2 of Tenor Interviews. We run out. So I'll catch you in a minute, very shortly.